Hackensack Meridian Health, Stage 17. High above Madison Square Garden at the OG Podcast Network Studios, in the center of the universe, New York City. It's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, starring Rob Bartlett and the Robbio Radio Comedy Players, with Steve Mecca and a band to be named later, and special guest, British Invasion, Liverpool legend, Billy Jean Kramer. And now, please welcome your host, Rob Bartlett.
Thank you ever so much. Thank you very much for that warm reception. Brilliant. We have a lovely program in store for you this evening. I shall be your host and compere. Now, I know you're thinking, Rob, because that's my name, Rob. What's with the British accent? Well, tonight is our very first theme show, and this evening's theme is British Invasion. It will be a completely Anglo-centric show tonight, and we couldn't be more delighted to bring it to you. First, allow me to introduce a man without whom I simply could not do the program, my musical director and resident dreamboat, Steve Mecca, and a band to be named later. Not only is Stephen the maestro, he's part of our little ragtag group of comic actors. Let's meet the rest of them, shall we? Please welcome a man who needs no introduction, former head writer of Saturday Night Live during the Eddie Murphy years, Mr. Andrew Smith. New York theatre actress, writer, producer and star of the short film The Weight of a Feather, the beautiful and mysterious Ms. Whitney Johnson. From the national tours of the Chorus Line, Guys and Dolls, and White Christmas, a certified pie plates instructor. I'm sorry, Pilates instructor. Our radio dance captain, Ms. Alyssa Alter. Did you realize that you were the radio dance captain?
Or, I felt it.
Yeah, I thought you did. Award-winning comedic actress. May I speak now? Thank you. We discussed this, didn't we? Award-winning comedic actress, musical theatre veteran, and member of the Hufflepuff House at Hogwarts, Ms. Mandy Lee Pantyhose Thompson. Direct from the national tour of Phantom of the Opera, from where he flies in every Monday night to be with us, no matter where he is in the country, the classically trained opera virtuoso and the man with the single worst Russian accent since Jennifer Lawrence in Red Sparrow. The man of a thousand voice, Mr. Constantine Pappas. And of course, where would we be without our spiritual leader, the sun source from where all the Robbio radio player energy emanates? Actress, writer, singer, dancer, three-time Emmy Award, five-time Tony Award, and nine-time Academy Award watcher. The one, the only, Ms. Megan Simone. All right, I have to drop the English accent now because I'm actually going to introduce our very special guest for this evening, a Liverpool legend, and because he's actually from Britain, I'm not going to even try to attempt to do an English accent with him. A dear friend, a man who makes my 6 degrees of Beatles separation number a two, because John and Paul wrote some of his hits for him. He, in fact, and you can use this to kill everybody you know in Trivial Pursuit, he was the first to record and have a hit with Do You Want to Know a Secret before the Beatles. Huh? He's going to join us for a couple of bits tonight and do a few musical numbers for us later on in the show. But would you please join me in welcoming Liverpool legend, my friend, Mr. Billy J. Kramer. Good on you, lad. It was good, right?
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, I can't thank you enough for doing the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I'm glad you think that, because there's no money involved. We're very happy to have you, because I know that you've got a very busy schedule.
Very busy at the moment.
Yeah. I know, I heard.
A lot of things going on.
You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yep.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to be at my father's place, the new My Father's Place.
My Father's Place.
At the Roslyn Hotel, August 18th, for the very special Billy J. Kramer birthday show, along with Denny Lane. Who used to be called Penny Lane, but then he decided it really didn't work for him, but from the Moody Blues and Wings. So, you know, he'll be opening for you, no doubt. You also, you got a thing coming up in Chicago.
Yes, I've got the Fest for Beatle Fans.
The Fest for Beatle Fans. The Fest for Beatle Fans. You can't call it a Beatle Fest, apparently. I don't know, something to do with licensing or something, right? You have to say the Fest for Beatle Fans. Now, we want to have a Billy J. Kramer Fest. We want a Kramer Fest. But you'd let us use Kramer Fest, right? We wouldn't have to, like, do a Fest for Billy J. Kramer Fans. We could call it Kramer Fest, right?
You could call it a Kramer Fest with pleasure.
All right. So,
that'd be great.
Oh, but I'm just afraid people would think it's about the guy from Seinfeld.
How about the Billy J. Fest?
The Billy J. Fest. That's even better. Better than Kramer Fest. I like that idea. And you got to do a song from your upcoming album.
Yes, I am going to do it.
Brand new single. And yes. Also one of his hits, one of my favorite songs of all time.
But you like it, do you, Rob?
I do. I did. I heard it during rehearsal. Yeah. It's a cool song. It's destined to be a classic.
Yeah, but it is a classic.
Unlike this show, at least so far. But it can only get better. And I think we should have our own Beatle Fest, though. I think,
yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think we should do a little something about the Beatle Fest, Billy. Why don't we try that?
Yeah.
You know, like we rehearsed. A splendid time is guaranteed for all at the 40th annual Peoria Beatle Fest. Featuring a very special surprise guest.
Do you want to know a secret?
Yes.
Yes.
It's you, Billy J. Kramer.
It is me, yes.
British invasion legend and boyhood mate of John and Paul, Billy J. Kramer will perform all his hits and tell stories of his days with the Beatles in Liverpool live and in person.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not a hooligan like Elvis Presley.
There's more. Also scheduled to appear is Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits.
Oh, you know, I gotta tell you, Peter Noon really the Beatles. They all hated him. He was an annoying little kid who used to hang around them all the time asking questions. John wants to kick him right up the ass.
I didn't realize we were going to be ad-libbing during the show. The Shoeless Beatles tribute band, all dressed like Paul from the Abbey Road album cover.
You're blagging me, barefoot. Why?
And back by popular demand for her third year in a row, Freda Arthur, the Beatles dry cleaner.
John didn't lack a lot of starch on his shirts. Ringo had to have everything waterproofed. Paul only wanted starch in his collar and cuffs. And George, well, George was George. You ask me, I don't think he ever had anything.
Appearing all weekend, posing for pictures and signing autographs, Ronnie Lewis, a woman who once saw Ringo coming out of an elevator in a building in Minneapolis.
I turned around and I couldn't believe it. There he was, really, in the flesh. He was just like a walking like a normal person, not like a beetle. I swear, I didn't wash my eyes for 2 weeks afterwards.
Come on now, you must be joking.
And this year, on display exclusively at the Peoria Beetlefest, a roll of toilet paper taken from the Beatles' hotel suite at the Plaza from their first American trip.
Really? Who would want to pay money to look at a roll of old bug paper?
See Billy J. Kramer at the 40th Annual Peoria Beetlefest this weekend at the Airport Holiday Inn Express. Call for tickets today.
I think I'm coming down with something. I may have to skip this one.
Sketch with us and a couple of numbers. You can go relax, put your feet up, have a little water. If you want to order out, there's a pizza or something. We'd like to thank those of you who are joining us tonight, watching us live on our live stream on Facebook. Those of you who would like to follow us on Twitter, we can be located at the Robbio, R-O-B-I-O. So follow us there. Instagram at Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy, where you can see some great behind-the-scenes photos and some other assorted crazy stuff. You can download us starting tomorrow. Every episode is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. And we also, if you don't want to watch this on Facebook for whatever reason, you could just go to our YouTube channel, the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy YouTube channel. Watch us there. But OG Podcast Network, go there, ogpodcastnetwork.com, and you can find us all there. Everything you need. This is our sixth episode, so you can get caught up. You can watch the previous five so you know where you are. We wouldn't want you to miss out on one single minute of the hysterical hilarity. Or the musical hijinks. One of the reasons we decided to do the British theme was because, you know, they have a different word for everything over there than we do, like elevators or lifts, and trucks are lorries.
What?
And how about this? French fries are chips. And potato chips are crisps. And douchebags are still douchebags, which I never knew. But we want you to learn something. And at the end of the program today, I'm going to ask all the members of the cast to find out what they learned from the show. Just so we can all kind of join together and be one with the situation. Pay no attention to the man adjusting the microphone. Those of you who are just listening to us, you missed the great Tin Mall Queen. But, you know, now it gives you a reason why you want to go to YouTube to watch, and you can see exactly what happened, because this is a radio show that we stream live on video. I have no idea why we do it, but we do it. Now, why? We have no idea. I just said that. What did I say when we started the show? Before the show, I just said, just sit back, relax, laugh, applaud, and don't say anything! How hard is this? You know, you know, in Great Britain, they have a lot of commercials for products that we don't have here in the States. And so what we decided to do is we're going to welcome one of those sponsors here and kind of debut their product here for us here on the Radio Hour. So we'd like to welcome our new sponsor, Knickerwickers. You're a young, vital urban professional.
I'm a project manager for a major multinational internet company. I put in an inordinate amount of overtime.
You have it all. Your salary's in the high six figures, but you also run a family.
I'm a partner at one of the largest law firms in London and the mother of twins. I put in 18-hour days repeatedly.
You're always on the go, so there's no time to go.
I'm in charge of a group of 20 people and oversee every aspect of my department. And the loo is always way down the hall, but when I'm taking care of business, I can't just drop everything to take care of business.
I rush home from work so I can shuttle the children back and forth to football practice, finish the laundry, and get dinner on the table. I don't have a moment to myself, so when nature calls, I don't always have the opportunity to answer.
Introducing Knickerwickers, the knickers you wear under your knickers.
Knickerwickers are a godsend. I put them on in the morning, and then I don't need to waste the 4 or 5 minutes it takes to go down the lav. I just pee in my trousers.
It took me forever to get the children potty trained. I couldn't wait for the day that they didn't need to wear diapers anymore. But I never realized how they'd be just perfect for me and my busy day.
Knickerwickers are made of socopetin, the world's thinnest, most absorbent man-made material that wicks away moisture on contact, leaving you dry as a bone. And knickerwickers are treated with an odor emitter to prevent the embarrassing smell sometimes associated with urination. And yet they're so slim, no one will ever know you're wearing them.
I can be in the middle of an important meeting and not be afraid that I'm going to miss anything because I have to excuse myself to relieve myself. I just quietly urinate as I'm sitting there at the boardroom table, and no one is any the wiser.
But knickerwickers aren't just for those with an active lifestyle. Knickerwickers are handy for people who simply can't be bothered to go to the little boys' room.
I suffer from clinical depression. Most days, I can hardly muster up the motivation to get out of bed. Knickerwickers have revolutionized my life. Now I don't have to get me home to clean me sheets every day.
Knickerwickers are also the perfect solution for when you're taking those long trips in your camper van and there are no motorway service areas.
And they're so durable and strong, you can wear them all day long.
Whether it's just a sprinkle of a tingle or a whopper of a wee, Knickerwickers is the easy, discreet way to make your bladder gladder.
I don't know what I'd do without my Knickerwickers.
Please protect the environment and dispose of used Knickerwickers responsibly. Knickerwickers are designed for urination only and not intended for bowel movements. Continued use over a long period of time may cause skin rashes and or urinary tract infections. Odor emitter not effective when eating asparagus.
Shh! Don't tell anyone, but I'm peeing right now. Okay, I'm finished. Scarlett, Charlie, time for football practice.
I think we're going to get those over here because I'm wearing them right now. I'm actually wearing 2 pair because I drank a lot of water before the show.
Do you have to excuse yourself?
No. Not anymore. We started something on our first episode. Like I said before, it's episode 6. We did it. Thank you. Thank you. Could you run around the room so it sounded like everyone thinks that's an achievement? No. Don't try to get my good side now! We started a serial. And by serial, I mean, you know, a segmented thing with different episodes, not like a breakfast treat. I mean, that kind of a cereal. And it was modeled after Serial, that NPR podcast. It's probably the most popular podcast of all time. And they followed a murder mystery for 13 weeks. And we decided we were going to do one, too. And we did it for 3 weeks. And it was so popular, we started another one on our fourth episode. And so tonight is the conclusion of the second mystery. And a little something that we like to call Death Can Kill Deader Than Elvis. Previously on Death Can Kill, a serial murderer on the loose at an Elvis impersonator convention is racking up bodies faster than the king eating a platter of gravy fries. Detective Bobby T. Higgins is at a loss. The ersatz elvi have been offed by everything from decapitation by a bear trap to drowning in a vat of pork gravy to being suffocated by a fried peanut butter and banana sandwich to being hunk-a-hunk-a burned alive. The only two leads she has are two of the impersonators, Elvis Prokopy, a Russian Elvis impersonator, and Elvis, a female impersonator Elvis.
that's a female Elvis impersonator, not female impersonator Elvis. I'm a woman dressed as a man, not a man dressed as a woman dressed as a man. How hard is this?
Sorry. The Russian, Prokopy, and the female Elvis impersonator Elvis had begun a romantic relationship. They were together in Prokopy's hotel room when Elvis Pelvis, the world's oldest Elvis impersonator, was burned alive next door. Ella told Detective Higgins she witnessed a top hat-wearing stranger holding a blowtorch running past her in the hallway.
I got the security camera footage from the floor of the fire. I caught a glimpse of the top hat-wearing stranger. I could have sworn he looked Asian. Still, I wanted to know what those two knew, because after a brief interview with them earlier at the scene that night, I started to get a hunch, which I probably got from my mother's side of the family. They all had horrible posture. But something about this whole thing didn't smell right, and it wasn't just the kerosene.
Detective Higgins called the two lovebirds in immediately for questioning.
I hadn't ruled out the possibility that the Russian or the female impersonator Elvis could be
for the last time. Female Elvis impersonator. I'm not a cross-dressing man. If you can't even get that right, how are you going to solve these murders? You have to find the real killer. I'm afraid I might be next.
How long have you known the Rusky?
Prokopy? Since Tuesday.
Maybe it's just my suspicious mind, but you became his teddy bear a little fast, don't you think? A little too soon to be his latest flame and let him experience the wonder of you? Or were you just lonesome tonight?
Are you going to talk in Elvis song titles for this whole interview?
I surmise that Elvis couldn't possibly be the murderer. She was too busy burning up the sheets with the Russian when the old fart Elvis was being burnt to a crisp. Although the Russian technically couldn't have done the last murder either, and for the same reason, there was something about him that didn't seem quite right. I called him in next. So, you're from Russia?
Duh.
Whereabouts?
Leningrad?
When were you born?
1992.
Liar!
What do you mean?
Leningrad didn't exist in 1992. After the Soviet Union dissolved in 1991, it was renamed St. Petersburg.
How did you know?
Because that's the worst Russian accent I've ever heard. Yakov Smirnoff does a better one, and I should know. He used to headline at the Sands. Your name isn't even Prokopy, is it?
No. It's Rappaport. Jeff Rappaport. But I am from St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg, Florida.
Why the masquerade, Rappaport?
You don't know what it's like in the Elvis impersonator world. The competition, little Elvis, old man Elvis, Mexican Elvis. I needed a hook. I considered cutting off my hand and getting a real one, but I couldn't do it.
Why did you lie to me? Why couldn't you just be yourself when we were making love?
I thought if I wasn't special, you wouldn't do it with me.
Oh, yeah, well, you're right about that.
Those two turned out to be a dead end. Although the name Leningrad kept getting stuck in my head. And the screen grab from the security video where the top hat-wearing figure looked somewhat Asian. And then it hit me. I hightailed it over to the El Camino.
The El Camino was a down-on-its-luck casino on the verge of closing. They had an attraction at their lobby that piqued Detective Higgins' interest, and it had to do with an art exhibit opening the next night. It was called Hearing History, a series of tiny sculptures of American presidents composed entirely out of the artist's earwax. And that artist was none other than Yoko Ono. Detective Higgins went to the opening.
I found Yoko standing next to her miniature earwax bust of Millard Fillmore. She was greeting the first nighters to the exhibit. I approached her. Ms. Ono, I'm Detective Higgins of the LVPD. Mind if I ask you a few questions?
Of course, Detective. Does it have something to do with those horrible murders over at Marrakesh?
You've heard about them.
Heard about them? I committed them.
What?
We get it! The Beatles were much bigger than Elvis. He doesn't deserve to have a whole culture of impersonators. My husband John was so much more talented. He's dead too, but there are no John Lennon impersonators, aside from a couple of those tribute bands that are awful. I wanted all the Elvis impersonators dead.
Yoko Ono, you are under arrest for the murder of 6 Elvis impersonators, but most of all for killing the Beatles. You have the right to remain silent. Please, please remain silent. Don't sing.
Yoko was taken into custody and then released on her own recognizance for $15 million bail, posted by the El Camino Hotel and Casino owner, Saul Moskowitz. Turns out all the murders were done as a publicity stunt to put the El Camino back on the map. Yoko went to trial and was acquitted, claiming the murders were all part of a performance art piece she was doing.
I guess in the end, it all worked out for the best, except for the fact that Yoko is still walking around a free woman.
You know what they used to say about the original Elvis Presley? Elvis has left the building. I know. Because I killed him, too.
I did not see that coming. I mean, just the fact that there was a character that they just brought out for this episode out of nowhere for no reason whatsoever, except we needed some kind of a tentative connection to Britain. And she just happened to be married to a Beatle. I was flabbergasted. I really was. Amazing. You know, you know what Elvis's last words were? Corn. No, too far. We went too far. You could have pulled us back. See, if you didn't laugh, we wouldn't stoop this low. We're only giving you what you want. A couple of weeks ago, we had as our guest one of the world's foremost psychics. And the reaction was so great, we decided to bring her back before she embarks on a tour of appearances in the UK, as it happens. We're beyond thrilled she's here with us again. Would you please welcome Miss Winnie.
Wagwan, wagwan. I am Miss Winnie. All you have to do is provide me with one detail and me open up a whole world of information for you. Except, me still waiting for the check from my last appearance.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Winnie. I thought you knew. We don't pay guests. In fact, we don't even pay the cast. Most people do the show because they think it's an honor to work with me.
Really, Jumbo Boy? You taking that for true?
Well, it's kind of...
Oh, the spirits are speaking to me and through me. They're telling me something about you now.
Really?
Yeah. Your skin flints tightwad.
Whoa, wait a second.
Big, fat cheapskate.
I'm sorry there was a misunderstanding, but I was hoping this week you could give a reading to someone here in our studio audience.
Oh, me more than happy to do that. But first, me need the deposit.
Deposit?
$20 in good faith. Otherwise, the spirits won't be speaking.
Okay. All right. Here.
Okay, me getting a vision now. Is there a Holly Martin here?
Oh, my God! Yes!
Uh-huh. Come up here to this stage. Okay, Miss Holly. You ever met me before?
No.
You ever seen me before?
No.
Then how you been knowing it's me?
Well, Rob introduced you.
Well, I have the power. Provide me with one detail and me open up a whole world of information for you.
Okay. What do you need to know?
What day were you born?
July 18th.
Okay, me getting a vision. Me think you just have a birthday.
Well, yes.
See, Miss Winnie have the power.
But I just told you.
No, the spirits, they speak unto me and through me. You'll be soon taking a journey.
Really? Wow! Oh, I love to travel. Where am I going? Oh, I hope it's London. I've always wanted to go to England. That's why I came down to the show tonight. I heard it was a British-themed show.
Me know, psychic. Remember? No need to wear me out.
Am I going to London?
Oh, it's too cloudy. Me can't see clearly. Me need to improve the vision of me vision.
Oh, how will you do that?
Miss Winnie get 20/20 for a 20.
Oh, okay, here.
Miss Winnie see very clearly now. Miss Holly, you will be taking a journey.
When?
Very, very soon.
Where?
It'd be a very short journey.
Where?
Cloudy again.
This is ridiculous. I'm not giving you any more money. I'm going back to my seat.
Aha! There it is. There's your short journey back to your seat. Miss Winnie, have the power.
Okay. That's enough. That's enough, Miss Winnie. Thank you for joining us again. You know, we always love to have you.
No, me no return again. Not until the check clears.
What check?
The one you be writing if you want Miss Winnie coming back, fat boy.
Miss Winnie, everybody. It makes me laugh. I don't know why I let Miss Winnie say those horrible things about me, but it's my show. And it's my name, the show. It's not the Miss Winnie Radio Comedy Hour. It's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. And you'd think, you know. All right, whatever. Everyone who knows me knows that I'm an enormous Beatle fan. I was in a Beatle cover band when I was a kid. There were just three of us, my friend Steve, who played rhythm guitar, his brother Gary, who played lead, and I was on the drums. We didn't have a bass player because we didn't know anybody who played bass. And besides, we figured Paul was dead, so we played Sweet 16s and parties and dances. We lasted for a while until one of the guys in the band got a girlfriend and the other two hated her, so we broke up. That's what you call attention to detail, okay? That's precision. What do I say? That's craft. You know what I just learned? This is an interesting answer, because I like to research things, you know, when we do accents and stuff like that. Which, by the way, before I forget, how about another hand, ladies and gentlemen, for the single worst Russian accent ever performed. Mr. Konstantin Pappas. I meant to say that before, and I didn't really. I just forgot about it, because it is forgettable, ultimately. Now, if we could only work on a good American accent, that would be choice. Anyway, so I was looking up, you know how like people mishear rock lyrics, like Jimi Hendrix, "Excuse me while I kiss the sky." Some people hear "Excuse me while I kiss this guy," which, you know, would have been ahead of its time. But that actually, that occurrence, that phenomenon has a name. It's called a mondegreen. See, there's a Dick Cavett Scrabble word for you. Next time you're playing Scrabble with Dick Cavett, you can kick his ass. Mondegreen. Read it and weep. When I was a kid, I used to always mishear lyrics, Beatle lyrics especially. I always thought that in Blackbird, it was Blackbird singing in the bed at night. You were only waiting for the Mormons to arrive. And drive my car. I told that girl that my prostate was good. She was a gay stripper. One leg driver, yeah. I also thought there was a Beverly Hillbillies reference in Day Tripper. You know, the part where she's a big teaser. She took Miss Hathaway there now. Anyway, we started a little episodic feature on our first broadcast where from time to time we check in on the new royal couple. And for this next sketch, we would like to bring back, once again, my friend, Liverpool legend, Mr. Billy J. Kramer. Yeah. Now the pressure is on. Pressure is on. You have a real part to play in this.
Yes, I know.
It's part is yourself. Which is typecasting, I know. But you ready? Did you prepare?
I'm prepared.
Okay. Well, it looks like this week Harry wants to start a band.
And now it's time once again to visit England's most popular new couple, Harry and Meghan. Last time, the newlyweds were trying their luck with a cooking show. But let's see what those two nutty royals are up to now.
Meghan, oh, Meghan, darling, could you come in here for a moment?
Sure, Harry. What's happening?
God, I love your American way of speech. I mean, just the way you say... What's happening? As if you were a commoner.
But I am. I'm just an American, remember?
Yes, but I try not to. Meghan, darling, things have become somewhat mundane since our fabulous wedding day, I'm afraid. But I have a wonderful plan to liven things up, so to speak.
Oh, you're not talking about sex again, are you?
Oh, no, no, nothing that radical. I'm British, after all. We're generally not inclined toward anything involving intimacy, contact, or emotional engagement with other humans. No, I'm talking about something much, much more fun. I want to start a band.
A band? You mean like the Beatles?
Oh, bigger than the Beatles. A royal band. A band of royals will only play castles and manors and abbeys.
Oh. Well, what are we going to call ourselves?
Well, I was thinking something original, something no one's ever thought of. We'll be called the Royals. Catchy, don't you think?
Not really, but I guess that leaves me out of it.
Not at all, darling. What do you play?
I already told you, Harry, a lawyer on the telly.
Perhaps a tambourine, then. Worked for Davy Jones. Anyway, I have a genuine British invasion legend coming over to audition. There he is now. Come in, the door's ajar.
I heard you looking for a singer.
Oh, my God. Billy J. Kramer?
Hello, love. You must be the Duchess of Sussex. I was a big fan of your suits.
Oh, that's... Oh, my. I think I'm blushing.
Billy, would you possibly have any royal blood in you?
Aside from being one of the Beatles' mates, I don't know. I think I played with Prince once.
Splendid. That'll do. Well, we have Billy to sing lead, Meghan to play tambourine. I'll provide rhythm guitar and mouth organ. Brother Willie on the keyboards.
Willie?
Let's rock and roll!
It says a killer rock and roll riff on the keyboard.
It looks like everybody's dead now.
Wow, when did he sneak in?
Oh dear, but we haven't a drummer for the band. What shall we do? We can't be a royal band without a royal drummer. Oh, I forgot. Queen.
You mean Freddie Mercury's band?
No, Billy, my grandmom, the Queen of England. Quick, everybody act obsequious.
Her Majesty, the Queen.
Oh, please, please, sit down. Or kneel, either one is fine. Just don't walk in front of me when we're in public.
Grandmum, thank you for coming by. I was just auditioning players for my band, Harry and the Royals. The Royals? This is Billy J. Kramer.
Your Majesty.
Oh, please, get up. Save it for McCartney, that musical egotist. Wanker. A band, did you say?
Yeah, I'm the singer.
And I'm on keyboards.
And I'm rhythm guitar and mouth organ.
Well, who do you have on the skins? The American?
No, she only plays a lawyer on the telly. That's why we gave her the tambourine. We're looking for a drummer, Grandmum.
Really? How fortunate. You know, I have played a paradiddle or two in my time.
You know, we can't have the Queen of England playing the drums.
Well, why not? I mean, I'm actually quite good. I mean, I can do the drum solo from Inigarda de Vida.
Let me make a phone call. Billy, Ringo, it's Billy. Do you want to play a gig? This band with the drum is terrible. By the way, have you heard from Paul lately? No, me neither. He's a wanker.
Shortly to do a couple of musical numbers for us. So we're just going to do one more thing, and then we're going to bring you back up. Is that all right?
You can do what you want.
I know I can do what
show.
I want.
It's my show!
This is your show!
It's not the Billy J. Kramer radio hour! I didn't go when you were playing the Odeon and mess with you, did I? No.
Just wait till I have the Billy J. Fest.
And I'll be working it. This week, a guy who actually knows Billy J. Kramer. You know, one of the things we discussed when we were first talking about doing the British theme show, we weren't gonna fall into the Anglo stereotype. You know, the British are stuffy, they're asexual, they have awful food. But then we thought, what fun is that? So with that in mind, we offer the following, a brand new sponsor to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, BritBite.
I was washing my face the other evening, and as I pulled the flannel away, I received the shock of my life.
I was down a pub and my best mate Georgie says, Oliver, what happened to your mouth?
I'd never noticed it before, but I smiled and I was positively horrified at what I saw.
So I went to the loo and I stood by the basin and when I looked at my reflection, something wasn't quite right.
My teeth, they were straight, uniform, evenly spaced, white as can be.
I realised, to my horror, I didn't look British at all. My teeth were perfect.
Are you disturbed by the results of years of good dental hygiene practices?
I'm from Herefordshire. I don't want to look like an American.
Introducing BritBite, the world's most advanced clear misaligner and tooth stainer.
If I'd known that brushing twice a day and regular visits to the dentist would have made me look like I was Rob Lowe instead of Shane McGowan from the Pogues, I never would have done it. I want me mouth to look as if I'd swallowed a Caldermobile made out of rusty metal.
BritBite, made of Anglo-Dentite. It fits snugly around your teeth to return your smile to its original brown, asymmetrical glory.
From the moment I first put my BritBite appliance in, I knew I was on my way towards a more authentic British smile. It was incredibly comfortable and virtually invisible. No one knew I was wearing it. And in just 6 short months, the gap-toothed crossbite malocclusion I had when I was a little girl had returned. And the color couldn't be more perfect. If I had smoked a carton of fags every day for a year and painted my teeth with French polish shellac, I couldn't be happier.
With 20 years of research and development, more than 900 patents, and using data from 5.5 million dental impressions, you can trust that your mouth is in good hands.
Ever since I used me BritBite, I've not once been mistaken for a steel worker from Buffalo, New York. I can once again proudly display me dingy, crowded gob for all the world to see. I'll tell you this, mate, it's made a world of difference down a pub. I haven't paid for a pint since the first time I put it on.
Make an appointment with your British dentist for a free consultation and a digital imaging of what you can expect from BritBite.
If someone had told me that by the time I was 30, I'd be mistaken for a posh American housewife, I would have told them they were daft. And then it actually happened, but thank God for BritBite. Now I have a smile like Amy Winehouse without the need for methamphetamines.
BritBite, for that Mick Fleetwood of Fleetwood Mac smile. Teeth that all go their own way. A division of British National Dental Health.
I never knew, Megan, you did such an incredible impression of the girl from the...
The Orbit Scum.
From the Orbit Scum commercial.
Special skills.
That was spot on.
Thank you so much. Dirty Mac, clean it up.
You know what that is?
That's precision. That's craft.
We're going to get t-shirts made up that say that's precision, that's craft. And 4 of us will get the joke. But that's my style in comedy. You know what? Anybody can do setups and punchlines. I prefer to write things that meander and have no point and have you troubled and bemused when it's over. Just, what did I just see? Tonight is a very, very special night, and it's special for all of us here at the Radio Hour, not just because this was our first theme show, but because of our special guest tonight, who was the motivation for us to have the theme show. He's a man who I was a fan of way before we became friends. He started out in Liverpool. He was born William Ashton. When he started his music career, he was looking for a showbiz name. He picked the name Kramer out of the phone book. And then his mate, John Lennon, gave him the middle initial J to give him a tougher edge. His autobiography, Do You Want to Know a Secret, is available now on Amazon. You can also find his current CD there, I Won the Fight. He'll be appearing at the Fest for Beatle Fans August 10th through the 12th in Chicago at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare. And he will be at the new My Father's Place at the Roslyn Hotel on August 18th. Here to do The River from his upcoming CD, plus one of my all-time favorite songs. Would you please welcome singer, songwriter, actor, performer, and my good friend, Mr. Billy J. Kramer.
Give him a hug, baby. Give him a hug, baby.
Show me the river late at night. Show me the bridge of many dreams. Show me young man, show me young girl. Show me a love that's as a word. I've been a long way downstream. I've seen those bright city lights. But there's a dark side That old city can't be me. Watch the river late at night. Every ripple light green. I was a young man, you were a young girl. Us was love so bright. At night, show me the bridge of many rivers. I was a young man, you were a young girl. I guess it was the way it was free.
Okay, this is
sorry.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. When you're ready.
All right.
If you ever leave me, I'll be set in blue. Don't you ever leave me, I'm so in love with you. The birds in the sky would be sad and lonely if they knew that I lost my one and only, baby, said, if you're bad, tell me. The leaves on the trees would be softly sighing if they heard from the breeze that you let me cry, and they'd be sad, don't be bad, tell me. But I know you won't leave me, 'cause you told me so. And I've no intention of letting you go. Just as long as you let me know, you won't be bad to me. So the birds in the sky won't be sad and lonely, 'cause they know that I've got my one and only. They'll be glad you're not bad to me. But I know you won't leave me, 'cause you told me so. And I've no intention of letting you go. Just as long as you let me know, you won't be bad to me. So the birds in the sky won't be sad and lonely, 'cause they know that I've got my one and only. They'll be glad you're not bad to me. They'll be glad that you're not bad to me, to me, to me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Stand!
always be in England.
Thank you.
They'll always be in England. Billy J. Kramer, ladies and gentlemen. You can download The River on iTunes soon,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you can see him at my father's place on August 18th. And you can get his book. It was a great autobiography.
Oh, yes.
It's a great autobiography. That's on Amazon. It's called Do You Want to Know a Secret? Billy, I have to tell you, tell some of the greatest stories you'll ever hear. Like, for example, did you know who wrote Bad to Me?
Actually, it was John Lennon that wrote Bad to Me and played it to me on my 20th birthday. They wrote Do You Want to Know a Secret? And funny enough, when it was a big hit, George said to me, you know you'll be singing that for the rest of your life now. And I've been singing it for 50 years.
Billy J. Kramer. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Don't forget iTunes, The River, and Sing at My Father's Place, and one of the world's genuinely nice guys, a true gentleman. And I don't know how I could follow that, you know. I set my I don't want to say penis because this is a family show, but I would need to set it on fire in order for it to.
Oh!